All right. You know, if we're going to receive the glory, then we've got to get ready for the glory. Now, Haggai chapter 2, verse number 9, and I'll wait and let you turn there. Okay. I see. Get it on your device, and let me see. I didn't turn it off. I better, a good thing I looked at it. Did anybody check in at Hour of Power? I did. All right. The glory of this latter temple shall be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts. And in this place I will give peace, says the Lord of hosts. And then 2 Corinthians 3:7-8. Now it says here that the glory of the latter temple shall be greater than the former, says the Lord. And then let's go come to, that was talking about in the Old Testament. Let's go over in the New Testament. But if the ministry of death, written and engraved on stones, was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not look steadily on the face of Moses because of the glory of his countenance, which glory was passing away, how will the ministry of the Spirit not be more glorious? Now, it's talking about experiencing the shining glory, majesty that comes with God's presence. How many of you have ever been in one of these camp meeting services where the glory was there? You know, I'm not talking about so much about the running and the shouting. I'm talking about the glory was there. I mean, it was like you could just reach out and grab it, you know. And, you know, if we ever need the glory, we need it now. I'll tell you that for sure. Now, in the Old Testament, there were times of glory when the Spirit came upon the people. Now, you got to realize that in the Old Testament, their sins were just covered. They were not born again like we are. They went through the ritual. Every year they had to go through the ritual. And they had the Holy Spirit upon, but we have the Holy Spirit within. You see, actually, there was only three people that really had the Holy Spirit with them. It was the prophet, the priest, and the king. In the Old Testament. And then, you know, in the Mosaic tent tabernacle that they had out there, that's where the glory of the Lord resided in the Holy of Holies. And then when Solomon's temple, it resided in the Holy of Holies. And that's that when you read the Word of God, where it talks about the veil being rent from top to bottom, when Jesus died on the cross. And at that particular time, God said, I'm going to move out of a house made of stone, and I'm going to live in people. And so in the Old Testament, we see that the glory was there, and the glory was a sign of God's approval. The glory, when the glory was there, it was a time of revelation. It was also a time of change. And we need all three of those in our midst today. Amen. In the New Testament, like I said, the Spirit of God was living within after the day of Pentecost. And it is not normal for a Christian to live not in the glory of God. You should be living in the glory of God all the time. Amen. I think we've drifted away from that a little bit, and we think we have to have some kind of unusual experience to experience the glory of God. You know, I got to come to a big meeting, a camp meeting, this or that or the other, you know. But actually, you should be carrying the glory of God around with you all the time. Amen. You know, and it's a sad day when we look around and at the kingdom of God, Christians, and we see nothing but people toiling. But we need the glory of God. Now, in critical times, you need the glory of God more than any other time. And the glory of God shows up in truth and demonstration. Now, as we look at the glory of God, we go back into the Old Testament and we see the glory of God in the Old Testament in Leviticus 9. So they brought what Moses commanded before the tabernacle meeting, and all the congregation drew near and stood before the Lord. Then Moses said, This is the thing which the Lord commanded you to do, and the glory of the Lord will appear to you. Now skip to verse 23. And Moses and Aaron went into the tabernacle of meeting and came out and blessed the people. Then the glory appeared to all the people. Now, we know that the glory of God is available, but it's only available when people obey what God says to do. So I want to talk to you about some keys to getting the glory of God. Number one is you've got to be obedient. The people were obedient to do what Moses said to do. And when a person obeys God, God shows up. In John 14:21, it says, "He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest, be a part of, come with you and manifest myself in him," the word says there, in us. Now the number two is that we need to draw near to the Lord. Now, how can you get nearer to the Lord? Well, you can be in the family of God and be a long way away from God. In fact, some people have a problem when you talk about drawing near to God. But James says, draw near to God and he'll draw near to you. If you couldn't draw near to God, then James wouldn't have said that. If you can draw near him, then you can be a long way away from him. Is that not correct? Have you ever seen some people? Yeah, they're in the kingdom, but they're so far over here that they wouldn't hardly know the Holy Spirit if you come down the street with a red hat on and chartreuse pants. Yes, you see, it's in meetings sometimes, like a camp meeting or we're in a Bible seminar, that we begin to think about it, so we draw in close to God, but then we drift away. You know, when we draw close to God, we need to draw close to God in our attitudes and in our worship, in our thoughts. Now, so key number one is be obedient. Do what the word of God says to do. Do what God says. That's that when the glory showed up. Then number two is to draw near to God. And that's why we've been encouraging you for several weeks now to pray for camp meeting. Yes, sir. Hello. Now, number three, in Solomon's day, they consecrated themselves to the Lord. Second Chronicles 5. Second Chronicles 5. We'll start out with verse 11. This is just a little teaching to help us get ourselves ready for the power of God to come in and manifest itself in our midst. All right. And it came to pass when the priest came out of the most holy place. See, the most holy place is where the power of God resided in the temple. See, it resides in us now, but that's where they resided, the power of God, the most holy place. For all the priests who were present had sanctified themselves without keeping to their divisions. And the Levites, who were the singers, all of those of Asaph, Heniman, and Jetnah, with their sons and their brethren, stood at the east end of the altar, clothed in white linen, having cymbals, stringed instruments, harps, and with them 120 priests sounding the trumpets. Indeed, it came to pass when the trumpeters and the singers were as one to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord, when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and cymbals and the instruments of music and praised the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever, that the house of the Lord was filled with a cloud. That's the glory cloud. So that the priests could not continue ministering because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled the house. Now everybody wants the glory of the Lord to fill the house. Well, if we're going to get the glory of the Lord to fill the house, we're going to have to all get together and be one and come together for strictly for one reason, and that is to worship God. See, so many times we come to church for different reasons. We come, oh, I need something. Or we come for this reason. Or come just because our friends are there. No, we need to come to worship God. Amen. Consecrate ourselves to Him. Now, look over there. We were just there in 5. Turn on over to 2 Chronicles 7. Turn on over to 2 Chronicles 7. Now, this is at the dedication of Solomon's temple, if you want to know where this is coming, what all this is about. When Solomon had finished praying, fire came down from heaven to consume the burnt offering, the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the temple. And the priests could not enter the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord had filled the house. And when all the children saw how the fire came down and the glory of the Lord on the temple, they bowed on their faces to the ground on the pavement and worshiped and praised the Lord, saying, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. When I'm talking about consecrating, I'm talking about dedicating yourselves, committing yourselves to God and to doing the things that you need to do according to the word of God. You know, saying, Lord, not what I want, not but what you want in my life. You know, number 4, you find it in 2 Chronicles 5:13 there. We see that the people were in unity. Unity is a vital key in the manifestation of the power of God. On the day of Pentecost, in Acts 2, it says, when they were in one accord, that's unity, suddenly the Holy Spirit fell on them. You see, as we come in for this meeting, and this whole sermon tonight is getting us ready for camp meeting. That's what it's all about. As we come in here, we need to come in with the same purpose, and that is for the glory of God to be in our midst. Now, somebody says, well, I need healing and I need that. And let me tell you what, if everybody get on the same page and get the glory of God, all of those things will happen and you won't even have to, they won't have to, nobody pray for you. I was on a road show today with David Ingalls. I don't know any of you hear me on the road show today, and David. It was 1975 at the old Skyline East, Sheridan Skyline East hotel that's right there off of the highway there. Anybody here in town know where that was? I got a couple of 3 people knew where that place was. Huh? Yeah, 44 in Sheridan there. Actually, it's if anybody knows where Bishop Kelly High School, well, it's right in front. It was right in front of that. The building's still there. I think it's the office building now. Anyway, David came, and he set out that piano, and he had written several songs, Whole Lot of People Going Home, Mark 11, 23, and 24. I don't know how many of those songs that. And he started playing and singing, and the whole crowd stood up, and we stood up and we sang and praised God for 2 solid hours. Is anybody here that was in that service besides me and Lynette? I know we were there. Who's back? Oh, Doug Jones was there. You remember that, Doug? Wasn't that something?
It wasn't a hilarious
thing. No, it wasn't a hilarious thing. It was just, we were worshiping God. People got healed. People got filled with the Holy Ghost. People got saved. And it wasn't a running, jumping, laughing. I mean, it was just, we were just praising God. Just singing and praising God. And that's what it was talking about here. Remember, it talked about the music, remember? And now it's talking about the Levites who were singers, those of Asaph, Heniman, and Jedna. Well, now, you see, that was the part of the tribe of Levi that was the worshipers. They were the singers. They were the choir. They were the musicians. See, the whole tribe of Levi was what divided up. There was the high priest in there. Then there were the priests. There were those that took care of all of the utensils and everything. Then there were the singers and all. That was all. They were all part of the one tribe, the Levi tribe. Now, when they had in one accord, I mean, it says here, they began to sing and pray, worship, praise the Lord, and the power of God came in. That's the way it was that day. I've never been in a service like that since that time. Never. I'd like to be in another one like that. All right, now, unity. Now, key number five. Is found there in 2 Chronicles 5:13, and we see the people praising God. That's what I've been talking about. You see, remember Paul and Silas? They began to praise, sing praises. Hello. They began to sing praises, and something happened. Power of God came in, shook the jail. Everybody got loose. You see, I don't imagine they felt much like praising God after having their backs beaten and sitting down there in the middle of the prison. You know, some people come and say, well, I don't feel like it. Hey, if you start praising God, you'll start feeling like it. See, at midnight, they started singing and praising God. Some people, if I go past 8 o'clock, when's he going to shut up? Any of you remember when we, the Wednesday night service didn't start till 7:45. Anybody remember that? Because you had all the people had to get all their chores done on the farm so they could come to church. And I liked it because I was a young, my dad pastored church. And when they'd come in, for service, they'd bring us eggs and milk and bacon and all kinds of, especially now the vegetables was coming off. They bring you fresh vegetables, We didn't go to the store because we didn't have no money to go to the store anyway. But the people brought the food in. But nowadays you got to have it done in a certain length of time. And I'm not advocating staying at church all night. I tell you what, some people need to shut up. They just up there talking. They ain't nothing to nothing. They ain't saying nothing in the first place. But there is such a thing as starting to worship God and just forget about everything else and just open up and worship God. Key number six is thanksgiving. We're all the time saying, Lord, bless me. Lord, help me. Lord, give me this. Lord, I need this. Where is the thanksgiving? I don't go through the gates of my house that I don't just look up in the car. I look up to the ceiling of the car. Thank you, Lord, for this place. It's my sanctuary. It's where I close the world out. And I don't mean that wrongly, but I mean, I'm in the public eye almost 24/7. But that the Lord gave that to us and helped us get that place. And when those gates close behind me, it's praise the Lord. I mean, I thank God for it because it's where I can get refreshed and where I can get ready to come back here to minister to you. I'm studying one night and two large carloads of people out there walking around my house. It's 2 o'clock in the morning. I studied Saturday night. I was studying for my Sunday morning sermon. and they're walking around. People start ringing my doorbell, asking me for a job. And I couldn't even play in the yard with my grandsons because they stop and won't. Can I ask you a question, you know? I don't mind answering people's questions, but when I'm playing ball with my grandsons out in the yard, I'm not thinking about answering a Bible question. How many understand what I'm talking about? And I began to pray, and I told Annette, I said, we need someplace that's got a little more privacy. And so the Lord helped us with that. But you know, I'm thankful. I walk in that place. I know my dad, the house he wanted, I got it for him. He is always thankful for that house. That was his place. He loved that place. And we need to be thankful forever. I mean, I get in my car, I thank God for that car. And I thank God for my food. I thank God for a healthy body every day. Amen. You know, sometimes we get so involved with believing God for this and believing God for that and believing God that we don't show our appreciation like we should. Oh, don't look at me like you think I fell out of a tree. I did, but I didn't fall on my head. See, and then key number 7 is pray. Pray. Not just some little ditty prayer, but a heartfelt prayer. Amen. You know, somebody said, well, I don't know how to pray. I said, well, do you know how to talk? See, because people got the idea, because they've heard people pray these beautiful prayers, and that's nice, but you know, if I didn't go into my father and start saying, now Father, you know, I need to borrow the car to go somewhere this weekend, they're having a party at school and I want to go. No, I just go in there and say, hey Dad, listen man, they got a deal going on. I want to go. You think maybe I could use the car? Hey, that's the way we need to talk to our Heavenly Father, just like we would talk to our earthly father or a friend or somebody. You know, you don't have to get into some sort of big time, you know, big words and so forth. And I don't know any anyway, so I'm left out in the cold if you got to know big words, because I don't know any. You ever heard somebody pray sometimes and half the time their vocabulary, you didn't know what they was talking about? Anybody besides me? Oh, I got some company here tonight. See, I'm talking about praying, not those religious prayers, but I'm talking about getting down on your knees and doing some business with God. James 5:16, we know what it says. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much, or brings much to happen. Now, when James was talking about this, and done, he talks about it, he's using Elijah as an example. Well, Elijah, he is far from being perfect, you know. How many have read the story about him? He's far from being perfect, you know. Okay, I better go on now. I meddled enough there. Key number 8 is down in 2 Chronicles 7:3. The people had a reverence for God. You know, there's an appropriate time to have a reverence for God. Sometimes I'm a little concerned nowadays that people don't have a reverence for anything. I mean, God or country or anything else. There's no reverence. I don't know. I guess they don't teach it now, but they used, when I was in school, of course, that was, what, last year, I guess. I wish. No, when I was in school, they taught a reverence to be, there's a time to be reverent. You know, They humbled themselves before God and said, "Hey, God, we need your presence." And then key number nine, and I got to hurry. Key number nine is worship. We get back to worship. Worship. We see them worshiping. And as you read through that, you can see all of this. See, God seeks out a people that are worshiping him from their heart, not their head. I said worshiping from their heart, not their head. You know, you can just be there and be singing the words, and they're not coming from your heart; they're coming out of your head. See, we've got to worship him the way God says to worship. John 4:23-24. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshiper will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is a spirit, and those that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. What I like about all of Rich and Patrick and all of these that are on this platform, the music and Amy and all of them that are involved with the music, is that they're not performing. They're leading us to worship. And if you ever notice, they're worshiping themselves. You can't lead anybody to worship if you're not doing it yourself. You know, so many times musicians and people, and even in the church, it instead of worship, it becomes more of a performance. Oh. And that's on the internet. It's going out. I'll probably get some letters about it, but that's all right. I'm in it. It's the truth, and I'm not going to take it back. And I don't worry about anybody. That's just the way I am. But I've been in too many places. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Anybody been there? Where they were up there singing, and it was supposed to be worship time, but it seemed more like a performance rather than worship. Rich knows I tell him and the guys all the time, I say, I don't care about performance. I want people that are worshipers. Amen. You know, my dad used to talk, and I remember this couple, but my dad used to talk about this. And when I was a little boy, you know, 8, 9 years old, in the denomination we was in, we go to the councils. And there was this, they'd have this person sing, and man, they were, oh, they hit every note just right, and they did everything is right, and you know, and everybody started patty caked when they got through. And there's a little short man and a tall lady, and she's beating on the guitar, and they about half out of tune in the first place. But they start singing, and the whole place would come unglued. Because one of them was giving a performance and one of them was worshiping God. I know I'm probably going to catch it for that, but that's all right. And it's the truth anyway. We need to begin when we're singing and worshiping, worship God. That's why I like the people to come down front. Come down here and just worship God, because you get away from everybody back there and you get down here and you just worship God. You know, and it helps everybody else to get into worship. When you see people worshiping, it helps you to get into worship. Hello. See, I'm talking about real, authentic worship that comes from the depth of the heart. Amen. Comes from the depth of the heart. And so, you know, I got about 4 minutes till it's 8:00. So tonight I just tried to share with you some keys that'll help you to keep the glory of God in your at home, wherever you're at. But we need to determine that we're going to walk in the glory all the time. Not just when we come to church. You know, we keep music going in our house 24/7. Good Christian music. Now, some people like different styles. I like a different style than Lynette likes. Now, in her car, she's got her music on. In my car, I got my type of music on. In the house, we've got her music on most of the time. Sometimes. I said most of the time. No. I realize that I can worship to both, all of it, but I really like a certain type. But we all do. It's what, most of it, it's what we grew up with. That's what we like. But whatever it is, let us determine to worship God. Let us determine to draw near to God in our thoughts, in our attitudes, in our worship. Let us put aside everything and come this next week and get filled up and tanked up and worship God. You know, we got people coming in here from all over. And a lot of the times I look around and I say, where's my church people? Hey, y'all show up this time, okay? I know most of you do, but get everybody here. If I notice that if I could get everybody that says this is their church home, and my pastors, we've talked about this, we'd fill this building every Sunday morning. But we got some people that come one service a month, some two, some, and I thank God they come. But I'm trying to get us, hey, if you want the glory of God, then you've got to begin to do some things.
Yes, sir.
God's way.
Yes, sir.
God's way. Anybody get anything out of this tonight? Everybody stand up. Heavenly Father, I just tried to talk to the people for a few moments tonight, stir up their hearts to get them to worship in you and getting the glory of God to fall in our midst. I thank you that as we go into this next week, I thank you that that glory is going to show up, because we're going to do the things that are necessary so that the glory will fall. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. If you happen to be a first-time guest with us, Connection Team, would you go find our first-time guest? We are so glad that you came to be with us today. And if you're looking for a church home, like we said, welcome home. Would you please go with this Connection Team person? And there's a place they're going to take you right out here. And that we've made up a special gift for you. And we want you to get that. And we're looking for you to come. You're only a visitor once. Next time you come, you're part of the family. And just come and be a part of us. If you happen to be in here tonight and you don't know Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, or you know what it is to serve God, but you know you're not where you're supposed to be, and you just need to rededicate your life to God. Or if you happen to be in there tonight and say, well, I go to church, but I don't really know. I cannot pinpoint when I really have accepted Christ. Well, come down and pray with these people, and when you leave here tonight, you will know. You will have a know-so experience. As we're dismissed, anybody you need prayer for, any of those three invitations, anybody want to receive the Holy Spirit, want to be prayed for healing, want prayer for any reason whatsoever, as we're dismissed tonight, come to here. The ladies over here, the guys are on this side, they'll pray with you. Turn around and shake hands with somebody and say, I don't know about you, but I'm determined to get the glory of God. I'll see you Sunday morning right here. And I'm going to do the second lesson on expect Sunday morning. And listen, we need your help at camp meeting. Go out there and volunteer and sign up. Where do they sign up for the kids, honey? All right, go back here and resource, sign up. All right, guys, God bless. We'll see you. Don't forget, we need your help. Bad.